My mom one time read me this story. I don't remember where it came from. So whoever deserves the credit for it shall remain nameless. I actually am probably going to revise it quite a bit anyway because I don't remember the basis. But it was a story about a man who had trouble making choices. And it just was always that way for him. He hated multiple choice tests in school. You know, they're supposed to make it easier, but for him it just made it worse. When it came to time to pick a college, he ended up not going to college because he just couldn't pick one.
Oh, gosh.
And he had trouble finding employment because he never could decide what he wanted to do. But in restaurants, oh, just don't even bother. But he was just out one day, out for a hike. I guess he finally decided to make that choice. But he got to the edge of a cliff, and he was looking over the edge, and he slipped and he fell off.
Okay.
And so he called out, being a good Catholic, he called out to St. Francis. Well, God, being merciful, even though saints really don't have, you know, you don't really supposed to call out saints, God decided to be gracious that day and sent an angel to save him. But the angel called him, and he said, well, who were you asking for again? He said, St. Francis. Which one? St. Francis Xavier or St. Francis of Assisi? See, sometimes we have trouble making choices.
Yes.
Because we're afraid of the consequences. And sometimes they don't really matter that much. But we don't like to choose because we know that sometimes when we choose wrongly, there are consequences that come behind that. Now, some of us are impulsive and we don't ever bother thinking about things like that. We just go.
Right.
But some choices are more important than others. And sometimes we're conscious of that, and so we rightly take some time and deliberate over what we're going to do. Sometimes we really can't know where things are going to lead. Life changes, things happen that we don't expect. I certainly never would have imagined the path that God set for me. Yeah, even amidst some of the choices I made that weren't so hot. But sometimes we badly underestimate the impact of our choices. Anyone that maybe got in a car that shouldn't have been driving. Sometimes those are life-changing or even life-ending choices that we make that we don't really think much of at the time. But we make life or death choices every day. And they aren't necessarily, literally, life or death choices. But they are choices that lead in one direction or the other. The effects may not be immediate, but they pull us in one direction or the other.
Right.
One real example that gets a little close to the home is what we choose to eat. I obviously have a problem in that area. But, I also know if I took those cookies home last week because not many people ate them. And then I ate them all. And I ate them all much too quickly. Now, do I have a right to get mad at God if I got sick because I ate too many cookies?
No.
No, not his fault. My fault. But we can also affect our minds in what we choose to watch or read. I started reading a book the other day. And I'm not reading anymore. I put it down. Because it was a lot of stuff in there that I didn't need to hear. It was one particular thing that I'm not going to repeat. that was in that book. And now that vulgar, nasty thing that was in that book is stuck in my head. Pops up every so often. And I can't, you know, it's never going to go, it's never going to go out unless I get old and senile and I'll just forget it. But it's not, it's just, there's things like that are stuck there. And they never, we can't undo them. And so that's why it's so important that we make life-affirming and good choices with what we take in, with what we do. For how we respond, of course, to temptation. And the choice we make to do what we know to do, what we know is right, or what we know is not right. Our choices have consequences. If we choose wisely, we will find life. If we choose foolishly, we'll find death. Because that's what the Bible tells us. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read to you today from the book of Deuteronomy. Going back to the Old Testament. And I'm going to focus on two verses, but we're going to try to fill in what goes around. But I'm going to read from the Lexham Bible again. But it's chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. If you sort of recognize it, we have been here before, at least in the general neighborhood. But it says, I invoke as witness against you today the heaven and the earth. Life and death I have set before you, blessing and curse. So choose life so that you may live, you and your offspring, by loving Yahweh your God, by listening to his voice, and by clinging to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, in order that you may live on the land that Yahweh swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them.
Amen.
This is happening at the end of 40 years of wandering around the desert. You remember the story of how God brought them to the edge of the land. Moses sent the two spies out, or the 12 spies out, rather. And most of them, 10 of them, brought back a bad report. We can't go in there. They're too big for us.
Right.
But Caleb and Joshua said, no, if God's given it to us, we can take it.
That's right. Amen.
But God was angry with those who, and the nation responded to the bad report and not the good report. And turned against God and against Moses. And God, because of that, told them, all of you people who are alive except for Caleb and Joshua, you're not going to get to go in.
Right.
You're going to die and your children are going to go in. And that's what happened. That's why they've been out there for 40 years. It's time to come back. It's time to take the land that God promised them.
Right.
And Moses himself is about to die. He is not going to enter into the promised land. Joshua is going to lead them.
Amen.
But he is now speaking to the people. He's making some final addresses to the people. He affirms the covenant which God has made with his people. And really, the whole book of Deuteronomy is a restatement of that law and that covenant. He spells out what's going to happen if they keep it and what's going to happen if they don't keep it. In very graphic detail in the previous two chapters. He also recounts the deliverance and the things that God has already brought them through. But then he makes a prophecy. He says, you're not going to do it. You're going you're going to disobey me. You're going to be taken away into the foreign land. You're going to be dispersed, but you're going to come back to me. And he promises the redemption to come. And this is how we got back here before. Because you look at verses 12 through 14 there, if you have your Bible or your app or whatever, and you'll see what we talked about a few weeks ago when Paul is quoting in Romans chapter 10 from this verse, from this chapter, rather, and he ties it in to Jesus. Jesus is the redemption.
Amen.
But he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. Moses is confirming the covenant. It was a common practice during that time to invoke whatever gods happened, the culture happened to worship as witnesses when they're doing a covenant like this. But of course, there's only one God.
That's right.
And he's essentially saying here, all who are in heaven, God's heavenly host, and all who are on earth are going to be witnesses against you this day. And indeed, the world has watched. Everyone is aware of what happened to Israel. And everyone will see as Israel takes her rightful place again.
Amen.
And Jesus has redeemed us all.
That's right.
And we will see the deliverance of our God.
Amen.
Amen.
But he puts a choice before them. You can have life and blessing. And this is for Israel. Specifically, in that time and place, it was tied to the land. And if you obey me, you'll have prosperity in the land. You'll be able to live there a long time. And they did for a time, and you know when they had people that were serving the Lord, you know they would have these periods. But that was not without conflict. It wasn't God did not he did do some supernatural things as they began to engage the inhabitants of the land here, but they had to take their swords and go in there and fight and take it. It wasn't like Jesus just burned a path for them.
Right.
They had to go in there and work for it and take it. So he's not promising a life that's completely free of conflict and adversity, but he is promising them victory on the other side. And Jesus is the life.
Yes.
His word is life.
Yes.
Ultimately, the blessing that we look for, we can expect as we live, if we'll live according to the model that he set for us here on earth, we can expect some earthly blessing. Maybe not all that we want, maybe not in the form that we hope to see it, but we can expect some earthly blessing for that just because it's the way God's world was set up to work. But ultimately, the blessing that we have, the blessing that we seek for, that we look eagerly for, is the blessing of eternal life with Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Living His way does leave room for Him to work in your life. Spiritual laws work, even if you don't understand them, they still work. But the alternative is death and curses. God can, and God has, and God does actively punish people. In fact, we're told that he doesn't love you.
Right.
It's because he loves you that he does that kind of thing. And his judgment, he's in complete control. His judgment of Israel was just. But I'm going back to that idea that the wages of sin is death. Mostly, most of the trouble that we get into is not because God was waiting up there with his big switch and whack his one, but just because When we don't use God's creation the way that He intended, stuff breaks. And so He says, choose life. When you choose life, guess what? You will live.
Amen.
You will experience the joys that He created for you to have. It's not without sorrow. The world has been tainted. The world has been corrupted. We're going to have trouble. But when we're doing things His way, we set ourselves up for good things too. And of course, we'll experience the fullness of life when we get to be with Him.
Amen.
And also, notice that He says, also to your descendants, or to your offspring in the version that we read from. Because your children learn from you. Proverbs, probably every parent has heard what Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he won't depart from it. You say, okay, well, mine departed. What happened?
Right.
They know
it. The thing is, when you read Proverbs, you do need to understand that they are axioms of the way things work in general. They are not necessarily statements that you can say that this is going to work this way every time. Because guess what? Your kids still have a choice.
That's right.
And they're still standing before God on their own, and they have to make those. But generally, it's a general principle that if you teach right, they're going to learn right, and they're going to do right. But they too have to make that choice. So how do you choose life? He goes on and tells us that. By loving the Lord your God. When we love somebody, I know I repeat myself a lot of times on this, but when we love somebody, we desire to please them. We desire to do what they want. We put them first ahead of our own concerns and our own needs. It's all about taking care of them. Of course, we don't need to take care of God. He takes care of us. Mm-hmm. But the idea, what I'm saying is that it's all about Him. That our thinking needs to be that way. That we're actively seeking that relationship. That we're looking for ways to spend time with Him. That we're looking, just like when we fall in love with that significant other person. Well, we can't wait till the next time we're together, right?
Right.
We're plotting it out, trying to figure out when we can do it again. That's the way we've got to be with God. I'm not offering condemnation. My goodness, I struggle too. But that's where we want to be. Out of that love is where the obedience comes from. His word is life. And His word tells us that He loves us and wants the best for us. And He knows what that is. And guess what? We generally do not.
Right.
So it behooves us to listen to what He says. Do what He's already written down for us in our instruction manual. And then finally it says, hold fast or cling to Him. When I read that word, I imagine a little kid. You know how the little big ones, when they get afraid or somebody's messing with them, what do? They come running to you, they grab hold of you and hide behind you. They cling to you. Because you're their safety, you're their security, you're their protector. And that's God to us. We're to be like those little children. Cling to Him. Don't ever let Him get out of our sight. Stay right there. Other usages of that word that's used there is translated hold fast or cling are to follow closely, to pursue, to overtake, to catch.
Yes.
never, never, never let go. And be thankful that even when we do, He doesn't let go of us.
That's true. Amen.
Never let anything pull you away from your loving Heavenly Father. And recognize anything that tries to get in between you and your Father as your enemy. Because it is. And whatever form that takes. Whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a possession, whatever it is, if it gets between you and God, you don't need it. Get rid of it. Your life is worth more than whatever that is.
Amen.
We all have experienced consequences, both good and bad, for the choices that we've made. We've all been around long enough to know that. Things have happened in our lives, some good, some not so good, because of the choices we made. Sometimes God steps in His mercy, and He takes the choices we made that weren't so good and makes something good out of them. And I'll tell you when that happens. That happens at the point that we're willing to admit that the choices were bad, and only. Because only then are we at a true point of true repentance, where we can say, Lord, I'm not walking that way anymore. Now you're in a position. Again, I'm not discounting God's mercy. God is incredibly gracious, incredibly merciful. He can step in and do things that none of us deserve. After all, none of us deserved Him dying on the cross for us. That's how much He loved us. That's how much He loves us. But we have that. Totally lost my train of thought. Praise God. We've all experienced those consequences, and we come to a place of repentance, and that's when God can really move in our lives. But yet, sometimes we suffer them. Sometimes we suffer them even after we've strayed, even after we've repented, because they're still there. And, God in His mercy may come in and alleviate some of that. But we really don't have a right at that point to be angry with Him if He doesn't. Only to thank Him that He has redeemed us ultimately, and to choose what we're going to do from this point forward, to make the better choices. You know the old saying, right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But we do that all the time in our lives, and then we wonder why things don't get better. We're still doing the same things. We're still falling in the same patterns. We're still committing the same sin. Why would we expect things to change? Love doesn't remove consequences, but most of us are just with the things that we suffer are just because of the way that God's world works, and we understand this in the physical world. We know generally that if you use things outside of their designed purpose, the results are going to be that something gets broken. You've heard the adage that when you hold the hammer, everything looks like a nail. But if you try to use a hammer instead of when you need a screwdriver, you're probably not going to get the results you want. Take one of these nice cars sitting out here in the parking lot. I don't know if Chris's truck might do it, but most of these things sitting out here weren't made to go mudding in. You go take the mud, what's going to happen? You're going to end up stuck somewhere. Somebody's going to have to go pull you out. Why? Because they weren't made for that. God made us a certain way. Laws work regardless of who uses them. Think about, you know, the law of gravity, right? It's something we all understand, pretty straightforward. You know, it doesn't matter. If you have, you know, if a little child falls up and comes out of a window, he's still going to fall. Why? Because the law of gravity works. It doesn't care that the victim is innocent. It just works. Consider then the intricacy of nature. Consider how everything fits together. It amazes me that people think that that just happened. Somebody has used the analogy before. If you're walking along out in the middle of the forest and you come upon a watch, you don't figure it grew there. Somebody made that and somebody left it there. You know, yet the intricacy within the cells even of our bodies, even within the simplest biological organism, are far more sophisticated than that watch. And yet we imagine that it just happened. Those of us here, I'm sure we know that, you know, that didn't just happen. God did that. Mm-hmm. If God paid that much attention to the simple things, so that even His creation, everything in it, works together and is tied together and works in a symbiotic fashion, do we not think that the same God who designed all that also designed our body and our soul to work in a particular way that's most efficient? Spiritual laws and moral laws even are to help us describe, to help us navigate that part of who we are. And they also work even when they're applied by people who don't really understand them or know what they are. You know, when people live according to God's design, even if they don't know God, they're likely going to do all right. Because it's just the way God's world works. When you do it right, good things happen. Results. In the same kind of cause and effect. When we engage in relations outside of God's design, we end up with broken hearts, hurt children, abortion, broken families, emotional distress, and disease. Broken marriages end up with a lot of the same kind of things happening. Love that gets corrupted can be our worst enemy. And really, these things are not separate. They have the spiritual things that are going on in our soul and our spirit have physical outworkings. But that's why God laid all of this out for us and showed us how to live. And He said, choose life. You know, at some point, we've all made, hopefully, the big choice. We've all chosen Jesus. But every day, we have what you might say are smaller choices to make. Are we going to choose the right way? Are we going to choose to obey God's word? Are we going to choose to ignore it? Are we going to choose to serve God, or are we going to choose to serve our own fleshly desires and our own needs? Are we going to put our desires first, or are we going to put His desires first? If we put our desires first, the result is probably going to be what it is. It's going to be death. It's going to be death to those relationships. It's going to be death to our finances. It's going to be death, maybe even to our bodies. But God is full of grace and mercy. He desires to do us good. And He will happily pick you up if you turn and call to Him.
That's right.
No matter how many times you fall.
Amen.
Choose life.
It's true.
Choose life today. Yes, recognize your past your past failures. Learn from them, but don't live in them. Resolve to make the good choices from here on out. Choose life. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us life to choose. If you had not done what you did, if you hadn't made the way, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be having this talk. We wouldn't be looking at ways to enter into that life, experience that life. You had to die to give us that life. Help us, Lord, as we go forward, that we not only choose life in our own life, in our own personal circumstances, but that we also spread life to those around us. Because that's part of who we're supposed to be. And that's part of life creates life. That's part of your design as well. So let us go forth today and create life in the spiritual world as well.